I took that Friday off work, and the boys and I went over to Valley Oaks to try to get an intake for counseling. And I don't know if you know anyone that needs counseling right now, but that's a nightmare in itself because there is not enough counselors to handle all of
the need.
What's happening in our world. So, but in the meantime, I had had another parent reach out to me and say, why don't you? They were asking, has DCS contacted you yet? And I said, no. And they said, why don't you make a call? And I don't know why it never occurred to me. I mean, I'm a mandatory reporter. I know to call, but I was just living in survival mode, thinking I had.
You didn't think about the obvious, did you?
Because it's your family. All these people that I trust to protect our kids.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm like. So I made a call, and immediately it was put through to a caseworker. And she called me, and she got all the information, and through the weekend made a report, and that Monday morning it was on Josh Danner's desk. The case was on his desk, reopened. And he seemed frustrated that he had gone a week without knowing about the case. Now, I don't know, because Shoemaker has since told me that Danner was frustrated with my story with Brett. And I didn't really feel like I said anything that wasn't true. He seemed frustrated that he had gone a week and not known about the case, that gives people time to delete things. And I said, you know, I've been frustrated too. I don't understand how we're not looking into this further.
Plus, the story with Brett came a little down the line. There was time to give it to develop.
Right.
You know, for everyone to do their job and do investigations and communicate with each other.
Mm-hmm. So at that time, the case got reopened. And, you know, like I said, I feel like Josh has done everything he can to investigate. The boys' phones were taken. They were dumped to look for everything. He not only took them to Whitestown to be dumped, he also used their new equipment when they were back to do an even, you know, more targeted search.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like he has really done everything that he can. It just was handled so poorly in the very beginning that, you know, would he find anything else? I mean, Shoemaker and I went around and around on the phone because he was upset about the article too. But he said it may not have turned out any different had the case been sent to Danner immediately. And I said, it may not have been, but the point is how do we know that we're handling these situations with the best interest and safety of our kids in mind?
If it happened this time, it could happen next time. Yeah. Absolutely.
Right.
And what's the protocol?
And so I don't understand. Like, and what are the repercussions if your officer forgot to report to DCS? Because
mm-hmm.
the thing is that everyone has admitted that they didn't report it.
Yeah.
So I'm the only person that reported it. But what are the repercussions when you forget to report? Because...
Well, that was also in Brett's story, so that may have been a reason they were upset, is because it came out that everybody kind of dropped the ball there at the beginning. At least it appears.
Right. Right.
So I...
And
go ahead.
I was just going to say, you know, my whole thing with them from the beginning has been, all I wanted was for people to admit, they dropped the ball.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, we made this mistake, But here's what we're going to put in place to make sure that that never happens again, to make sure that our kids are safe. Because all I want is to know that our kids are safe.
Yes.
But no one wants to admit that they messed up from the beginning. So how do I have that confidence then that we're doing what's best for kids?
Mm-hmm. So there is a restraining order currently that you have filed against Mr. King to keep him away from your family, I'm guessing. That's how it reads. Mm-hmm. You had mentioned that Officer Danner, Detective Danner, has done about everything he can. I want to let people know, a couple weeks ago, you had shared this with me recently, Liz. A couple weeks ago, you happened to spot Mr. King at Circle Park, which is near where you live and work. Police were called, and then you called, and Mr. Danner showed up, Officer Danner, and then you also called the Community Schools of Frankfort administration. And tell us again, it seems like this wasn't handled the best from the Community Schools of Frankfort, but it sounds like Detective Danner did everything in his power. Is that correct?
So what actually happened was, it was a Tuesday, and I leave school immediately on Tuesdays because I have to get one of my boys to an allergy appointment. But our secretary, her daughter was in band. She's a high schooler now. And the two of them were leaving school and went around Circle Park, and they noticed him there. So they drove all the way around the circle to make sure it was him. He was standing, talking to a couple girls that they said looked about middle school age. It would have been about the time that our middle school buses drop off, and there is a stop right there. And she saw him, and she was aware that there's a protective order. So she panicked and called our principal. And she's like, I don't know what to do. I saw him. He's at the park. And so our principal told her that she would take care of it. She called central office, and the response that I got, because our secretary thought that she was calling the police and calling central office. So she told me, Diane's called the police and central office, so you don't have anything to worry about. And this is the next day. So I didn't know anything about him being there the day of, the next day. And I got shook up finding out that he was there, and I text Danner, and I said, were you aware that Austin was at Circle Park? Diane made a police report and talked to central office. He texted me back and said, do you know who Diane talked to? Because I'm not seeing a report. So, it was right at the start of the day, so I couldn't get down to talk to Diane. I just sent her a text and said, hey, can you let me know who you talked to? Because Danner can't find the report. And I never heard back from her, which is not really like her. I know she gets busy, but so maybe something came up, but it's just not like her to not respond. And I was pretty upset. Again, like I said, sometimes you just get those things that happen and it's like another punch to the gut. So I was upset, and another one of my friends at school said, well, I'll just ask Diane. And so she went and asked her, and she came back to me, and she said, this is exactly what she said, that she sought guidance from central office, and that they said they'd take note. So I don't know who she talked to at central office, if it was Dr. Rhoda, if it was Eric Farley or Scott Welts. I would assume it was one of those three that she was, if she sought guidance. Mm-hmm. But
take note
nobody
is pretty vague.
Nobody reported. I mean, everybody knows, and And I think it was more hurtful to me that these are all people that know how much, how upset I've been over it and how worried I have been. And then to know that not one of them messaged me the day of to say, hey, because my other son's appointment is in Lebanon. So my middle school and my high school kids get off at home.
Right
I
there,
mean, they're old
yeah.
enough to stay home alone. But if I knew he was right up the street, am I going to be okay with I'm in Lebanon and they're home here? So the fact that nobody said anything to me just makes me feel like, sometimes I just feel like I'm living in the Twilight Zone. Like, am I the one that's blowing it out of proportion? Or, but then everyone around me is like, no, you're not.
No.
You're fighting. You're doing the right thing. But nobody, I don't feel like anybody ever says, you know, why did you handle it this way? Like, I'm just the one that keeps going and keeps going.
Mm-hmm. Well,
so it was just kind of hurtful that, and scary. And
sure.
So, but the thing that Danner did do was then make sure, you know, that there's watchful eyes out there to make sure that, I mean, my kids don't get off at that bus stop, but Austin knows where I live.
Mm-hmm.
That's way too close. And he has no reason to be on this side of town.
Mm-hmm.
None. At a park where there are no other adults, only children, when you know what allegations there are, why would you do that?
Right.
I don't quite understand.
Bold.
Either.
Quite bold of him.
I feel like either it's to, yeah, either to intimidate me or to try to get to my kids. And I don't know. But either way, it is. I mean, I just don't understand.
It seems like the ball continues to be dropped by certain individuals, and I guess that's the best analogy I could come up with, but there are certain things that we as humans think about, especially knowing in a small community the situation, the story, you as a teacher and having a firsthand contact with these people at central office, it would just be courtesy, if nothing else, but just the right thing to do for a fellow person that you know and you could reach out to immediately, that would seem like a punch in the gut. And like you said, awful scary. I do know that it's now in the hands of Clinton County Prosecutor Tony Summer, from the way I understand, with evidence collected.
I think it's actually with Stephanie White, maybe.
Okay.
I thought it had been turned over, yeah, to one of, it's with one of the women prosecutors.
Okay.
I believe.
The prosecutor's office, though.
Yep.
And with the evidence that you've seen, has there been any calls from them to you for a follow-up so they could figure out a prosecution, or if they're just going to be like everyone else and sort of not communicate and just let you kind of be out there in limbo?
Yeah, I have not heard from anyone. When Danner and I talked before when he turned it over, he called me to let me know he had finished his investigation and handed everything over. And he said that he did not discover anything more on the phones than what we already knew was there, which is a relief to me. And he said, but he would not even pretend like he knew what the prosecutor would do with that information. But no, I have not heard anything from them since he had turned the stuff over. So,
you know, we hear about this.
I've never been in a situation like this.
Sure.
I've never known, like, do I call and say, hey, what are you doing? I feel like I've always been that naive person that thinks everybody's going to do their job
the
and
right
do it
thing.
To the best ability and do, yeah.
Yeah.
Especially, I guess, especially when it comes to kids. And I know all people deserve that. And I don't know if it's the teacher side of me, the little, you know, the one that works every day with little
sure.
kids. But I'm like, these are our kids. How can we not do everything we can for them?
Right. Well, what little bit I've looked into the laws and everything, it almost seems like we need to lobby a state lawmaker to come down a little harder on a lot of this stuff, because what they call grooming or messaging students, I don't think technically is a criminal offense until there's some action taken, which you want to
right.
totally avoid, you know. But this is a mighty fine line, so I think maybe the state legislature would be a good start and follow up and keep doing exactly what you're doing. Unfortunately, it takes the squeaky wheel to get to get the grease, mm-hmm. you know. My gosh. So a new development, quote unquote, in this is you had shared with me that Mr. King has actually petitioned the court to lift that restraining order, and that is coming up in June, sometime next month in court. So you actually have to go back to court to try to keep this in effect?
Yeah, so we got a letter probably a month ago. We didn't have to go to court in the beginning. We presented the facts. One of the girls from Quentin's house, which is the Child Advocacy Center, mm-hmm. helped me file the petition. And we didn't have to go to court. From what we presented, it was granted and put in place. And then I got a letter a little while back that said we were set for a hearing, that he wanted to petition it to be dropped. So you can imagine I was pretty upset again.
Sure. Yeah, it's like ripping the scab off again.
And thinking, why would you want this dropped? But I've talked to a lawyer since then who said it is more than likely his lawyer saying, look, I can, you know, I can't get you your job back, but I maybe can get this dropped so that it's not on your record when you go to try to get another job.
Mm-hmm. Which goes back to the state legislature and some kind of registry process or something, because I know that's something you've seen on social media. I've seen it. And of course, it's the first thing we think as parents is now he's just going to go to another school.
Right. And that was my biggest thing, too, was that we let him resign. Why would we let him resign? We have teachers resigning left and right now. So places don't look to say, why did you resign? But if you fired a teacher, you know, people are going to ask, you know, well, why are you firing someone in the you know, dead part of the school year mm-hmm. when teachers are so hard to get. So, you know, that was a conversation that Dr. Rhoda and I had. And at the time, he told me that we would just have to agree to disagree on how that was handled. I have since been told that he asked for Austin's teaching license to be revoked. So I am not sure at what point. My lawyer did tell me that that's a really big deal for them to ask for mm-hmm. his license to be revoked. But I don't know. That's not something that he's ever brought up until after Brett's article, until after my conversation with Scott Shoemaker, where Scott told me, it was a whole, well, Dr. Rhoda told me that DCS called him and said that he should have reported the night that you called him mm-hmm. instead of waiting to talk to me the next day to make sure it was true. That's not what we do. As soon as you hear something like that, You have to call and report. So I don't know if that's something that the school attorney said, well, let's do this, and that covers us for not doing this.
Exactly. And would it have even been done if Brett wouldn't have done the story? I mean, I hate to be a skeptic, but, you know.
Well, I'm going to be honest. I feel like everyone was just hoping that I would be okay with the fact that Austin was gone, mm-hmm. and we were all just going to move on. Mm-hmm. And
well, thank you for caring.
Something about my fear of all kids. Like, it's not fair. Like, if I ever find out that he goes to work for somewhere else and he hurts a kid or another family has to go through what I'm going through, I don't know that I'm going to be okay.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's because you care, and that's because you're a good person, and it's always the right thing, right time to do the right thing. And I certainly feel for you, Liz, and your entire family. I'm glad you're getting some help, and I'm glad you have sought to stick this out and keep doing it, because it would be easy to give up. And like you said, you know, if anything was to ever happen, God forbid, it would be hard. And that's because you're a caring, loving teacher. What is the feeling among teachers that you work with? I know it's a close knit family oftentimes in these elementary and middle schools, particularly. What's the feeling among teachers or staff or anyone else about the superintendent, Dr. Rhoda, the administration, protecting kids?
You know, I don't know that I can speak on behalf of everyone, and I don't want to speak on their behalf. I can tell you that when it comes to our schools right now, I think the feeling of safety of kids is not the priority. And I actually emailed our school board and told them that I don't think safety of kids is our number one priority. I think numbers are our number one priority. And whether that's in how many students we have enrolled, what does our data look like, how many kids are we getting to pass state tests, those things seem most important.
Good for you.
And safety is on down the line. I did get a response a few days after I sent the initial email. It was upsetting because I sent it from my personal email. And I got a response from Sandy Miller to my school email. And the response sounded very much written by an attorney. Mm-hmm. And it said basically that they would continue to back Dr. Rhoda, that, I mean, it did went through step by step how he handled it, and that safety is his number one priority.
It's a little disappointing.
But, you know, actions speak a lot louder than words.
Amen.
So, I don't know. I don't feel like his actions show that safety is his number one priority.
Well,
especially if we're not just going to take note that he's at a park around our kids.
Yeah, the quote-unquote take note, knowing there was a protective order in place and knowing the high profile of this story and this situation, I think that is a little scary, and you have every reason to be concerned, but good for you for reaching out to them, and too bad you got that basic attorney response.
Mm-hmm.
Liz, I really appreciate you.
And I haven't heard from any other school board members, so I'm guessing they have been told by the school attorney not to talk to me.
Sure. I'm guessing you're probably right on that. Liz, I really appreciate you sitting down and talking with me today. I know it was emotional for you at times, and there is going to be more emotions in the future, as you well know. But I think that everything you've been through will hopefully help prepare you for that, especially since you're a teacher within the community schools of Frankfort, and this is something that you do and have done in this community for a long time, and you love to do it. You were telling me before we went on the air, you just love teaching kindergarten and love the kids. And I just really appreciate you sitting down with me today and doing everything you have done for the kids and for your kids. And I want to just say, take care of yourself and lean on that therapy when you need to. That's good to get them in there.
Yes, thanks, Kevin.